1 minute. Men are forged in the place of prayer. That's where men are forged. Men are forged in the place of prayer. Men are forged in the place of prayer. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Revelation chapter 1. I was trying to meditate and I just said a word in my spirit earlier than now. What I heard was lampstands. I don't know why God is interested in lampstands. This is not the first time in this week. Lampstands. If you are with King James in the book of Revelation, you will see it as candlesticks. Candlesticks. And it is a consistent concept even from the Old Testament to the New. It is representative of how God sees his representation upon the face of the earth. It is what? Representative of how God sees his representation upon the face of the earth. So if you come to the book of Revelations, as we will see in the book of Revelation chapter 1, let's read it so that there is something God taught me many years ago, and he has guided the way we operate, so that we are not just content in just going on. You are not even sure whether what you are doing is yielding any result. This is how many believers turned and become atheists. Many pastors now turn and start going to native doctors. They didn't understand this. They didn't understand the mystery of the lampstands. Because if you understand it, you will know how to tend it. You will know what is the most important thing. When we gather, what are the things that God take as preeminent? When God comes in our midst, what does he see? What does he interact with in our midst? Are you getting the point? Maybe I will just touch it and we'll go. Whenever we gather like this, God is not too interested in many things you are doing. He's interested in the infrastructures that is around your engagement and activities that is represented in heaven. So when he comes and he doesn't see some certain things around you, whatever you are doing cannot, he is not emotional. It cannot make him to start moving in your midst. It cannot make him to speak. It cannot make him to act on our behalf. It cannot make him to work for us. And if you don't understand this, this is what people don't understand. They continue doing things. Meanwhile, they have not been able to trap God dimensions, the things that can keep God perpetually in our midst. If at all God wants to visit, why is he visiting? Are you with me? If you don't understand this, you will not understand the basis of revival. Why does God visit? Why does he bring revival? Why does he bring certain things? What does he seek to accomplish? When he looks in our midst, what attracts him? Is it the biggest church building in the whole of Southeast that attracts God? Is it that 1 million people gathered? Is that what attracts God? I need to tell you that when God looks from heaven, he is not interested in the type of building. And he's not interested, are you with me? He's not interested in the number. He's interested in something. That is what catches his attention. And that is the description he gives to that certain enclave. that certain it is that makes him to start. He will start releasing utterances and giving you scope and nurturing you. You see, if you are not in that shape, you have not even qualified for pugin. In fact, you are not recognized in the courts of heaven. It means that whatever these people are doing, it is not something that is worth God's attention. Let me show you. Meanwhile, there are hundreds of thousands of people that gather together and call it church. I don't know how many places people will go to heaven from. I don't know where you gather, but I'm sure that there are many places you call churches. People can't go to heaven from that place. And if you gather in that place, you will never actualize your destiny in God. Because God will never speak in those places. Huh? They don't have lamps in heaven. Let me show you. You can only hear God's voice where there is lamp. That's why you need to understand why we give ourselves to priesthood. These are the things that get lampstands installed in territories. Revelation chapter 1 verse 8 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end, and the ending, said the Lord, which was and which is to come, the Almighty. You see, this verse is just trying to summarize the eternal scope of God. There is no English word to do it. The word is not Alpha and Omega. The word is Alpha Omega. In case you didn't understand, he now told you which was, which is, and which is to come. You see, it's just an attempt to give us an understanding of the eternal scope of the one that is speaking. So, whatever is to come is summarized in him. Whatever is happening is what? Summarized in him. Whatever has happened is what? I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and in patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of the Lord. You see, the reason why God is opening these dimensions of the scripture to us is for one word. You see, we have come into the seasons that mirrors these experiences that John is having. You see, John was part of the people that God spoke to. And he said, he was talking to his disciples, he said, one of you will be alive till I come back. So they thought Jesus is coming back in the next 50 years. What they didn't know is that there are testimonies that this man bore that we still be alive until we fulfill what is written here. Jesus is not coming back again. So as long as it's not fulfilled, John is still alive. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, first and last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. You see, I have told you people that there are four ways to look at this particular prophecy. Are you with me? You're not with me. Maybe one day we'll look into the prophetic writings. For you to understand this, you might have to go back to the book of Matthew chapter 23, 24 and 25. This is where especially chapter 24, that is called the spine of prophecy. We interpret all the prophecies in the scripture using the spine. You know, your spinal cord. It is what holds everything in shape. If your spinal cord has issue, even your hand will hang. So you cannot bring accurate perspective to other prophecies until you go back to the spine and begin to add other things. That's not where I'm going. So there are four ways to see this. That's also not where I'm going. He said, and I turned to see the voice that spake to me, and being turned, I saw seven what? That word candlesticks is lampstands. So there are seven lampstands, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto what? The Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot and get about with the paps with a golden girdle. That's not where I'm going to. Come down to verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and last, and the last. And I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Let's leave it. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and I'm alive forevermore. Why is Jesus appearing to John here? Many times, repeatedly, he re-emphasized his eternal dimensions. Are you getting the point? He's trying to say that if it is possible for you to understand the scope of the revelations that he's trying to bring forth through the prophet John, you will have to leave the natural realm. Everything you know about God in the natural realm will not help you to understand the scope of this prophecy. Are you getting the point? He is repeating to John, I am the first and last. I am Alpha and Omega. I am he that lived, was alive, and is to come. He is trying to show him his eternal scope. Whatever I'm showing you now, you will make mistake if you try to interpret it with your theological knowledge. A man have to be carried to the scene where the revelation was unveiled. You will attend council meetings, and then from there the revelation will be made known to you. The spirit of understanding will begin to speak to you, and then by wisdom you will come into the economy. That's not where I'm going. Now he said, write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which will be, what? Hereafter. The mystery, this is where I'm going, of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. What is he supposed to write about? Huh? You're not with me. What is he supposed to write about? Justice. Huh? The mystery of the seven stars and the seven golden candlesticks. You see, that is the scope of the permission he was given. The ones he is to write about. Just as we understood already, amongst many things John said, there are many he didn't say. So he said, amongst the things you saw, this is our target. For you to bring understanding concerning these matters, because that is where it affects us. Are you with me? There are many things that happen in the book of Revelation, and they said, actually, where it affects us is in that mystery of what? And what? Because that is where it pertains to us. Every other thing concerning the revelation is beyond our scope. Some of them are the things that will happen sovereignly. But if we understand the mystery of the seven stars and candlesticks, and what they are supposed to do to line up with God's agenda, then we have fulfilled our prophetic quota. The race is given to God. Are you getting the point now? So he is making sure that this mystery is no more mystery for us. So if it is no more mystery for us, it will inform the way we live. It will inform our response to the revelation that is captured here. Don't worry, I will drive it home. It's still prayer. It's still prayer. He said, the seven stars are the seven what? Eh? If you are with Amplified, what did he call it? If you are with ASV, American Standard Version, what did he call it? What? Same messengers. You see, that thing is not necessarily angel, like angelic order. What you should be interested in is what? Same messengers. The better word that carries it is messengers. It is not necessarily angel. Are you getting the point? So what it means is that if you come to every territory, that there is a messenger that represents God in that territory. And anytime God wants to communicate his mind to that territory, he has to interact with the messenger. So the messages that came after that time was coming to the messenger. So in case you say, well, some people will say he's an angel. Even if you say he's an angel, there is an angel that represents that place. But if in my own, if you ask me, I will say he's a human being. If you ask me, I will say that messenger is what? A human being. Huh? Okay. Well, let's not go into that. I've not read that translation. I'm speaking from prophetic interpretation. Because the letter that followed in chapter 2 was speaking as if he was expecting the people he is writing letter to take action on it. Are you with me? So if they are not human beings, how are they going to take action on those matters? He is telling them, adjust, do this. Of course, you have to know that they are not angels in angelic cadre. These are angels in the shape of messengers. Now, if you understand this, you will understand the true scope of the apostolic church. Because, are you with me? The word apostle is simply the sent one. Are you with me? There is no operation of God that is standardized without the person being sent. As a matter of fact, Jesus was called the apostle of our high calling. In other words, he was sent as the messenger. So when a messenger comes, the interactions from that time that the messenger is sent, the interaction of God that he has with that particular assignment is simply with the messenger. If he wants to judge, he judges the messenger. If he wants to pass information, he passes through the messenger. This is the true shape of the apostolic church, showing us principally that the church that we end the age is also the apostolic church, even as the apostolic church what started the age. Because the information that God is passing to the church, he is passing it to his what? Messengers. So in specific and corporate dimension, the apostolic mindset has to be imparted to everyone that intends to represent God in the end of times. Because you only survive because you are carrying a message. It is the message that keeps you alive in this season. Why are you here on earth? Why shouldn't you die in bomb blast like the people that died in Lebanon? You heard it now. Why shouldn't you die? In this time, the only reason why we live or die is because of our message. So if it's true that you are a messenger, your message can demand that you die. Your message can demand that you live. So that is what keeps you in context. That is what drives your existence. So men begin to realign according to the information that comes from the one, from our head. It comes to the messenger. And then from his message, we'll begin to understand how we have lined up to God's purposes, to God's demands upon our life. It has become obvious from chapter 2 that certain of the churches have left where they are supposed to be. In fact, there is a particular church which is actually where I wanted to end. That he said, if you don't go back to your former works, what will I do? No. I will take away your lampstand. Let me show you what is lampstand. You see, do you know why I'm saying this thing? There are many places where the lampstands have been what? And because of that, they can never ever receive certain levels of interaction from heaven. God will never move until he sees lampstands burning. That is what attracts his attention. It doesn't matter how many people gather there. If there is a lamp,
10, the one that sits amidst the seven lampstands, his voice with thunder.
He can only interact with lampstands. He's not interested in your face, whether you are male or female, whether we are young or old. What he's interested in is what? Lampstands. That is what gets his attention. So when he looks from heaven, what does he see? His messengers and his what? I have 5 minutes more. But this one now is a body. I need to unveil what heaven is doing now. I need to present to you the present revelational standpoint of heaven. That God is in need of men that understand the structure of heaven and the capacity to trap those dimensions upon the face of the earth. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So if we can get many people that understand how they can get a functional ecclesia, because according to this place, now let me read it to you. The scripture now said that and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are what? What? Now that means that every candlestick represents what? So how do we know a church according to God's opinion? So the question is, how many churches do we have? I tell you, you can come in the whole of your state, there is no church. In God's opinion, if God should come there, are you with me? He stood and he made a judgment. He began to scan in the whole of the Asia Minor. And he highlighted the places in the Asia Minor where there is church going on. Now, if you understand this thing, you will understand this is actually the foundation of territorial ministry. You will understand that you can be three in a place, but that's where the lampstand is. If God will ever speak to that territory, he has to speak to those men that is doing business there. And when men, if you understand this, you will now know how to get a lampstand from heaven and install it. Because God is not too interested. Lampstand is a representation of God's interest upon the face of the earth. So anytime he wants to communicate to his body, he begins to look for lampstand. Where are lights burning? Then he will begin to speak. Because that is where his authority can afford. That is the only place that God can flow and flow to humanity. If he doesn't see a candlestick, if he doesn't see a lampstand, then he cannot flow to that territory. God is limited in a territory that doesn't have a lampstand. Now, and anytime you hear lampstand, the next thing that comes to your mind is priesthood. Because these are the articles of priesthood. Do you know? There is a ministry my father attended when we were small. I was the only one that attended it. They use candle for their this thing. How many of you have attended? It's me and you that understand this thing. Don't mind them. It will help you. Some of those things are useful because you are a priest. You are supposed to dig deep. You are supposed to be large in your intercessory ministry. So that some of the things, you see, truth is parallel. So that you can easily understand this lampstand thing. It looks far away, but for you now, it's not far away. Is it not true? There is one they have. It has one leg like this, but it's branched into seven places. Is it not true? So you know it, and you people are hiding. They have it in your place now. Every Catholic member should know this. It's the same thing. It's representative of. They are assuming that physical candle means heavenly. There, you don't know the message they are passing to you. Without that, their candle, there is no church there. Is there any church without that thing? That is representative of the fact that God cannot interact with a territory except on the basis of that lampstand.
And whenever you see lampstand, it is these are the tokens of the priestly ministry.
Are you getting the point now?
So when men begin to do business in priesthood long enough, then heaven will come and drop a lampstand in that place and say, from today, if we want to interact with your family, we interact from your altar. Your priesthood is strong enough to capture our reality. Are you getting the point? Every single thing we want to do for this family, we can release it through your altar, because your priesthood is strong enough to represent God's purposes for your family. Are you not getting the point? So when you pray long enough, God cannot minister to your family anything except through your altar, because that is what represents God's dealings. You are the lampstand, and God can't deal with humanity. He can't deal with your family. He can't deal with your town, your village, your nation, except there is a lampstand.
Man, we have to go back to priesthood again. That's where you will understand the fundamental place of lampstand. When men begin to do business long enough, God, we look down from heaven and see that according to your consistency, your faithfulness, when you are down, you are doing your business. When you are sick, you are in priesthood. When you are weak, you are in priesthood. When you don't have money, you are there. When people revile you, you are there. When things are bad, you are there. Because you understand that the works of God upon the face of the earth depends on the business that you do upon your altar. That is representative of the lampstand of God. And God will never deal with your family except your lampstand is burning. He will never deal with our territory except the lampstands are burning. He will never deal with our nation until the lampstands. This is why we need the spirit of grace and supplication. For the scripture says that this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the law of the burnt offering because of the fire that is burning there all night till the morning. The fire will never go up. We must receive grace to begin to burn incense by the altar, to begin to service the altar, to begin to discharge our priestly ministry, so that by all means we will trap the dimensions of God represented in our lampstand, so that the authority of God will not be lost, so that the tokens of God will not be lost, so that the voice of God will not be lost, so the agenda of heaven will be fulfilled. We yield our members, we consecrate our days, we decree, oh God, that if you will grace us with prayer, we will stand. When we feel like, we will pray. When we don't feel like, we will pray. Because we know that your agenda upon the face of the earth depends on our priesthood. We will not be careless, and our lampstand will be taken away from us. The eyes that God has. Without the lamps, God cannot see a territory. Without the lamps, He can't see it. We must bring the consecrations of priesthood. We must bring the activities of priesthood. Ask God, make me an efficient priest, clothed with remnant of fire. We remnant, with the remnant, clothed in white. Grant us more Jesus, that perpetually we burn on the altar. We burn.
You cannot be there. And the lampstand that will represent your territory before the throne of God will be taken away. No. When God has you, the scripture says, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, a lampstand will come there. A lampstand will come. Wherever two or three becomes consistent in engaging the dimensions of God, in engaging priesthood, then a lampstand will come. Then the voice of God will come. Then his interventions will come. Then his speakings will come. Then the tokens of God will never be lost. Satan will never say he has won when there is still a lampstand.
Thing that can happen to a territory is for God to take away the lampstand. They will just be groping in darkness. They will be doing what they have been doing before. There will be no results. Satan will encroach and darkness will overpower us. There is no lampstand. There is nothing new that will happen, and there is no shift until God speaks. Because when the sun comes, it comes through the lampstand. Don't stay in a territory and God will be looking for men. We'll be looking for lamp. How can I interact with your territory? He has been looking. How can I interact? How? Tell him today, I yield. On a higher level, I yield. I yield on a higher level. 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 I yield. I yield. I yield. I yield. We heard about Tatira. We heard about Pergamos, Philadelphia. But we did not hear about your village. Meanwhile, you are there. We need to thrash this thing out in prayer. You have noticed that what is missing is a lampstand. When God installs a lampstand, that is where you start having encounters. Jesus can freely enter a place where there is a lampstand. In that place, you don't talk about Jesus because men will be seeing him daily. Jesus. Mighty name we pray. Many years ago, God taught me this thing. And before we started this revival hub, He actually taught me specifically. I cannot say this for everybody because many people listen to us. I don't know if it is general, but a few of our people have taught them the same thing. And every place we entered, it worked. God taught us on how to set up a territorial lampstand. Can you come in a place and you stay for long? The territory doesn't recognize what you are doing. Jesus cannot step down from that place and begin to affect the territory from what you are doing. Sometimes people were able to do it, but it was by luck. It's like they didn't understand what it takes. No. By the mercies of God, God has taught us. Maybe subsequently, when He gives us permission, we begin to teach the body of Christ. But let's perfect it. On the 28th and 29th of August this month, we'll be having our 24 hours with Jesus. I don't know how you need to tell all your friends, because there will be free feeding and accommodation. The best thing you can do for people is to bring them in an atmosphere like this. Many of the things they are confused about. Many of the things you are a church leader now. When are they planning to make you pastor? You don't know. Some of those things they are talking is not part of your life. The reason is because you don't give yourself to priesthood. When you pray long enough, because the land will be tilled. To plant the word of God in a hard ground is a waste of time. The ground is fallow. It can't enter. That's why we pray the way we pray. You don't know how hard your heart is. I know you. I know you. I know the way you were when I met you. You know they hear. No be so. But now, for some time now, I've noticed that Jesus has started making you more obedient. He has started softly. That's where you. That one, there is no advice that would have gotten you to that place. The things I'm telling you now is what you asked me as a question many years. Is it not last year? Did I answer that question? You don't need to. There are questions you don't answer. Because even the answer is not profitable to you. What you need is to bring the person to a place. Some people struggle with discipleship. It's not telling. What you are saying it repeatedly. Let their heart, their soul be cracked. So that the word can penetrate their heart and build them up. Stop building on stone. Stop building on hard ground. Fallow ground. Dead people can't receive life. We will start 12 p.m. on 28th and end 12 p.m. on 29th. It will be something else. Jesus. You know now. Go and borrow verses. Our sonship conference, International Sonship Conference, is coming up in this place from the 15th of October to the 18th of October, 4 days, Thursday to Sunday. Amen. Very soon we unveil the guest ministers, and there will be free feeding, free accommodation. We are trusting God to even do free transportation. So that when you get to heaven, you say, I cannot fulfill my destiny. They will say, come here. When they gave you free food, free accommodation, free transport. Some of us trekked. If you know how we trekked, I finished one prayer and prophetic conference and I was trekking home. I don't know how I found a vehicle to drive me home. I slept under the stairs. I slept outside in Hamatan. I didn't even bother. Somebody gave me money to find accommodation. I used the 10,000 and sold seed. Don't do it. But I need to tell you that when we say this thing, it's just to remove every excuse that people will give. Huh? Meanwhile, if you collect only free things, one day you will pay. Not to me. But you will have people that you will have to pay for their own. Somebody enter the place and they say free food. You now enter. He said, it's your father that paid for you. You will pay for your children. So, whether you like it or not, there is a payment. Whether if you don't pay for your own, you will pay for another person's own. You are blessed in Jesus' name. On September 10, we will celebrate our 1 year anniversary. And we'll do a love feast that day. And as God will have it, it will be a Thursday. So it's bed packed. That day, don't fast. Don't be rejoicing too much until an angel appear in the night on Wednesday and say, "Don't give me 5 days." So don't rejoice. Don't rejoice too much when you come in our congregation. Like, don't rejoice too much. That's why I tell my people, if you can eat. You don't know the demand that will be placed on you tomorrow. It can be 100 days, and that 100 days will be when they will be killing chicken every 2 days in your house, and they will not allow you to participate. You are blessed in the name of Jesus. So next week we meet again by 5 p.m. next week, Tuesday. You are blessed.